Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, I'm going to begin the sermon we gave at Denver Bible Church on Sunday, Beyond the Edge of the Universe. What is beyond the edge of the universe? We'll talk about that. But first, global warming update. Global warming is dumping a blizzard onto the western U.S. It's freezing. It's getting colder. But still, those in the Denver metro area, if you're a pro-life personhood circulator, you're invited to a dinner in your honor tomorrow night in Arvada at 6:30. There is a dinner. It's free. Just RSVP to Personhood Colorado, or you could call here at Bob Inyart Live. We'll pass it on. 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. If you're a circulator, tomorrow, Saturday night, 6:30 at 72nd and Oak, Maranatha Christian Center, a dinner in your honor. I'll be there, Lord willing. I'd love to see you. We'll have a great time of fellowship. Our telethon, we're at $9,700. $9,700. That's almost 25% of our goal of $40,000. Boy, do we need your help. Please call 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. And lastly, if you'd like to join a signature SWAT team, I'm heading up the Metro West team, because the Colorado Secretary of State is likely to throw out some thousands of signatures saying that they're not valid, and then we'll have a two-week cure period to make that up. We're going into overtime. If you'd like to be on my team, Doug's not here today. I got an advantage. If you'd like to be on my team, call 800-8-N-YARDS, 800-836-9278. 9278, 1-800-836-9278. I'm getting the goals of people on my team already, and we're trying to meet 2,000 signatures in 2 weeks. My team, Metro West, wants to get 2,000 signatures. Please turn to Psalm 8. Please turn to Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Above the heavens. Heaven is above the heavens, isn't it? How many heavens are there? Well, in the Bible speaks of three heavens, typically. The atmosphere, where the birds fly through the heavens, and the weather events are in the heavens, like the snow and the rain and the clouds. And then outer space, the Bible speaks of the heavenly bodies, like the sun, the moon, and the stars, as heaven. And then there's the throne room of God, and about and around that we have the eternal dwelling place of the angels and the body of Christ, thus the three heavens. So the universe is the second heaven. What is on the other side of the universe? What is beyond the edge of the universe? Now, there are right now atheists and Big Bang cosmologist types who are laughing, and they think, Bob, you're such a Bible thumper. You're a pastor of Denver Bible Church. You don't even know the Copernican principle. You don't know the cosmological principle. You don't know that the universe is isotropic. You don't know that the universe is the same no matter where you are, that there are no edges and no center of the universe. Bob, you don't know any of that. And I'd like to turn that around on them and say, no, you're the one. You don't know that. You don't know all those things, because the assumption, the Copernican principle, you know, remember Nicolai Copernicus? He is the Christian who began the revolution to throw off the pagan Greek cosmology. The pagan Greeks, like Aristotle, those guys, they thought that the earth was in the center of the solar system, of the universe, and that the sun revolved around the earth. That's what they thought. Now, Christians are saddled with that. University professors and the media will mock Christians and say that Christians came up with that. That's not true. That's Aristotle. He's a pagan Greek philosopher. That's an Aristotelian cosmology that many Christians, many people in the church, it's true, practically worship Aristotle. So for centuries, the church accepted Aristotle's view. And Aristotle said, well, we know the earth is not moving because, look, you can tell it's not moving. He said, we know the sun is light because it's floating. And if it was heavy, it wouldn't be floating up there. And the earth cannot be moving because when you drop a rock, it goes straight down. And Aristotle said, if the earth were moving and you dropped a rock, it would go to the side, like diagonal. It would fall. So it took who? Who dealt with that? Galileo, his law of the addition of velocities. And he explained, no, Aristotle was so stupid. Galileo explains that the rock is moving at the same speed of the earth. So when you drop the rock, it looks like it's going straight down. And so it was Christians like Copernicus and like Isaac Newton and Galileo, and especially Johann Kepler, that helped us understand the laws of planetary motion, that the sun is at the center of the solar system. So it was Christianity, people who believed in a Christian worldview, who corrected the false pagan Greek cosmology, and it took the world 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years, a couple thousand years almost, to make that correction finally. And so they say, Bob, you don't know that we know that there is no center of the universe. However, and secular astrophysicists agree with what I'm about to say, secular atheist astrophysicists. The belief that there is no center of the universe is not based on scientific observation. It's based on an enormous assumption. It's not based on scientific observation. It's based on an assumption. So today it's popular to say that there is no center of the universe, and so there's no edge and so on. After all, if there were an edge or a border to the universe, then what would be on the other side of it? And increasingly, Christian cosmologists are disputing the claim that there's no center of the universe, and we are getting increasing evidence, hard scientific evidence, to support our view that the Earth is in a special place. Increasing evidence that, contrary to the Big Bang predictions, the Earth is in a special place near the center of the universe. Now, you can do a Google search if you want. And in the sermon, Sunday morning, Denver Bible Church, I mentioned a Google search. Is that okay to say that in a sermon, a Google search? You can do a Google search of redshift, to learn about the body of evidence regarding the redshift in the light of the galaxies, which indicates that the Earth is near the center of the universe. Redshift is like when an ambulance flies by you. You know the Doppler effect? As the siren is approaching you, the pitch of the sound gets higher. And as it's going away from you, the pitch gets lower. And we're all familiar with that sound. Well, that's the Doppler effect in sound waves. But the same thing happens with light waves. And if a galaxy was moving toward us, we would see a shift in its light waves toward the blue part of the spectrum. But if the galaxy is moving away from us, we see a red shift. And so it turns out that we see a red shift in the light from all the galaxies in the universe, so that the universe is expanding. The Bible says that God spread out the heavens 11 times. So the universe is expanding, but when you do a Google search for redshift, put a word in front of it, quantized. Quantized redshift. The galaxies around the Earth are not randomly distributed at any old distance, near or far. They seem to line up in a quantized way so that there are shells of galaxies around the universe. In any direction you look on a spherical globe, you go out to galaxies and they appear in shells. Every so far of a distance, there's another shell of galaxies. Then you go on beyond that and you wait till you get to a shell and there are more galaxies. And that is evidence that the Earth is near the center of the universe, because that wouldn't be true in that way at other places in the universe. Also, there's a leading cosmologist from South Africa, along with colleagues of his and a French astrophysicist, who are providing evidence from the explosions of stars, supernovae, that the Earth is in a special place. You could go to our website, kgov.com, and look that up. Search for supernova. Even if the Big Bang were correct, even if it were correct, and there's no center of the universe, which there is, but if it were correct, and the universe were about 20 billion years old, which it's not, but if it were, well, there's a huge problem. The atheists have a big starlight and time problem, because the universe has a background temperature of almost absolute zero. It's 2.7 degrees Kelvin, the background temperature, the cosmic microwave background temperature of the universe, 2.7 degrees Kelvin. Here's their problem. If the universe is only 20 billion years old, there's not enough time, not nearly enough time, not by orders of magnitude enough time for the whole universe to have evened out that microwave background temperature. Because that can only happen at the speed that the light is transmitted around the universe, and it takes time for that temperature to even out. And so the creationist knows that, well, the Bible says God created the Earth less than 10,000 years ago, and yet the universe is billions of light years across, so we have a starlight and time problem. How did the starlight fill the universe in less than 10,000 years? How did that happen? We talk about that all the time. We explain that. The atheist, your typical run-of-the-mill atheist, Big Banger, they never talk about their starlight and time problem. They don't even know about the problem. It's called the horizon problem. They don't know about it. So I'd like to submit to you that creationists, Christians, are more willing to address questions in our worldview than are the atheists, who run from their problems and their questions. 11 times the Bible says that God stretched out the heavens. God stretched out the universe, filling it with the light from the stars and the galaxies as he went, much as a human heart is pumping as it's being formed. You think, hey, a human heart cannot pump before it's formed. It's pumping. When does it start pumping? After it's formed? You turn on a switch? No, the human heart is pumping as it's being formed. And God, as he stretched out the heavens, he filled the heavens with the light of the stars and the galaxies that he was creating. So, quantized redshift, supernova studies show, they indicate that the Earth is near the center of the universe. So now we'll leave verse 1 behind of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Notice that God set his glory above the heavens. Let's leave that verse behind, but in a few minutes we'll return to it to look again at this question of what would be on the other side of the universe. Verse 2, Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes. Well, out of the mouth of babes, Jesus Christ really loved children. Nursing infants, the baby in the womb that we read about, John the Baptist, 6 months gestation, leaping for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb. Jesus was a child. For unto us a child is born. He was conceived of a virgin. In Luke chapter 2, we learn about Jesus Christ, God the Son, our Creator, eternal God, became flesh, and he was growing up as a child, and he grew in stature and wisdom and in favor with God and man. Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them. Remember that Jesus would heal children. Jesus raised a child from the dead. Remember that in Mark chapter 5? Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. Jesus used the child's loaves and fish to feed 5,000 people. Jesus said in Matthew 18 that we should become like a child when he said, unless you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Humility before others, and especially before God. When Jesus came to the temple, Matthew 21, the children cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus said, if you cause a child to stumble, it would be better if you were to hang a millstone around your neck, a big heavy stone, and be thrown into the sea. That would be better than causing a little one to stumble. Jesus said, if you receive a child in his name, you receive him. Imagine that. Whoever receives one child in my name receives me. What if you don't care about a child? What if you don't care about a child who's to be killed? You make excuses for your apathy. Then you care not for Jesus. For whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And whatever you do not do unto them, you do not do unto me. Verse 3, Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Think of that. The Bible teaches us that the heavens are the work of God's hands. In fact, here it says, the work of your fingers. Now, God holds the universe in the span of his hand. What is a span? Stretch your fingers and your hand and look at the distance from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. It's the equivalent in our modern measurement of 9 inches. A span in the Bible is the distance between the thumb and the pinky. And yet the enormity, the vastness of the universe fits in the span of God's hand. Isaiah chapter 40, the Hebrew prophet Isaiah says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has measured heaven with a span? Isn't that interesting? God measures heaven with a span. This verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, the Bible starts out describing the sun and the moon as lights. The Bible says, do not worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're just lights. Don't worship them. Much of the ancient world was worshiping the heavenly bodies, and I got to debate Michael Shermer, editor with Scientific American, atheist, and I said, Michael, you could go to kgov.com and just search for Shermer, Michael Shermer. I said, Michael, we disagree, but can't you at least agree that the Bible is right on page 1 when it says that the sun is a light? So don't worship the sun. It's not a god. It's a light. Can you agree that the sun is a light, that the Bible is right? He said the sun is not a light. And that's the fear, I think, the intellectual tantrum to admit anything that's even obvious. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon. The Bible says that the moon is a light for the night. And, you know, we make mirrors out of silicon. And that's what the surface of the moon is for the most part. So that the moon will be a mirror. It will reflect light on the earth. Verse 4, Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What is man? We're so tiny, right? What is man? Well, let's read verse 1 again, and we'll offer an answer to the question, if there is an edge or a border to the universe, then what would be on the other side of it? Now, we can't say empty space. That's not a good answer. And I don't think we can say that the universe is infinite. Why can't we say empty space? Well, empty space is what the universe is, primarily. I mean, the universe is 99.999% empty space. Just add another 50 nines to that. The universe is 99.9999 empty space. So empty space is not a good answer for what is beyond the universe. What's beyond the universe? The universe. That's not a good answer. And is it infinite? First of all, if the universe were infinite with galaxies and stars, then the night sky would be brilliantly white. But it's not. The universe is not infinite. And I think that only God is infinite in each direction, for he has always been here and always will be here. Whereas even human beings, remember, mankind, you have never met a mere mortal, as C.S. Lewis observed. You have never met a mere mortal because we are eternal beings. Yet we are not infinitely old, but only we will live infinitely into the future. Only God is infinite. So the universe is not infinite. Well, what's on the other side? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Listen to this. Who have set your glory above the heavens. God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you go past the edge of the universe, I believe God's glory is on the other side. O Lord, you have set your glory above the heavens. Now, what if that is literal? It doesn't have to be literal. It could be figurative, meaning that God's glory is greater than the glory of the universe. It could mean that, but it could be literal. What if it is literal? Then consider the throne room of God. Here is what we have if Psalm 8 verse 1 is literal, that God's glory is above the universe. Picture the throne room of God. And before the throne, there is a column and a pedestal. And on top of the pedestal is a capital. You know, like in a Greek column, and you have an Ionian capital on top of the Greek column, or a Dorian or a Corinthian capital. It's like a pedestal with a platform. And then above that floats a large dark pearl with brilliant points of light, tiny points of light, the tiniest, most brilliant points of light ever to shine off of a gem. And each of those points are galaxies that are near the edge of the universe. That pearl, that dark jet black pearl with brilliant lights sparkling, could be the universe, right there in the throne room of God. Is this idea original with Denver Bible Church? No, it's not. It's just an idea that arises perhaps from some passages in the scriptures, and our culture has considered these ideas. You even get a hint of it in Horton Hears a Who. A person is a person no matter how small. What is man that God is mindful of him? We are so tiny. Our earth is so tiny in the solar system, in the galaxy, in the universe. So, wow. God sets his glory above the heavens. That is just so extraordinary. And it could very well be that the entire universe may be a jewel above a pedestal ever before the throne of God. So verse 4 again, Psalm 8 verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Do you realize God's view of mankind is the opposite of an atheist, the opposite of a Big Bang cosmologist, the opposite of Stephen Hawking? How about Stephen Hawking? He is the quadriplegic. He can't speak without the aid of a computer. Brilliant, high IQ, in rebellion against God. And he says that mankind, everything on the earth, everything in the earth, mankind is insignificant. I think if you were rude to Stephen Hawking, he'd be offended, because he cannot live consistent with his own worldview. Because if mankind is insignificant, if the whole earth is insignificant, then what would it matter if you were rude to one guy in a wheelchair? What would that matter? He's insignificant. What would it matter if he killed millions of innocent people, men, women, and children? It's insignificant. But Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, came to earth. What is man that you are mindful of him? And lived a sinless life and suffered and died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead so that we could have everlasting life. If we humble ourselves like Jesus humbled himself, emptied himself and became a man, if we humble ourselves before God and trust in Jesus Christ, we can live forever. We are so extraordinarily tiny compared to God, who spans the stars with his hand. Verse 5, Psalm 8, verse 5, "For you have made him, mankind, a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Yeah, we're less powerful than the angels, and we are lower as compared to our dominion here on earth, whereas theirs is in heaven. But God has crowned us with glory and honor. Verse 6, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas." The paths of the seas. You know, God inspired the scriptures. Today, modern science, we know that there are currents in the oceans, right? Well, God knew that when he inspired the scriptures. And here we read from 3,000 years ago about the fish that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That was the sermon at Denver Bible Church on Sunday, and we decided to give it again because of a technical problem, and we lost the recording. And there are 100 families around the country or so that get the sermons on CD mailed to them once a month, MP3 CDs. So we wanted to make that available. Thought it would be worthwhile. Tomorrow night, Saturday night in Arvada, Colorado, there is a dinner, a thank you dinner, in honor of each person who carried a petition for Colorado's personhood amendment. If you were a circulator, please call us at 800-8-NYART. We will RSVP for you, 800-836-9278. Our telethon goal of $40,000, we're at $9,700. Boy, do we need your help. And come on out and visit Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning, Sunday school service, or Sunday night Bible study. We'd love to meet you. God bless you. Maranatha.